In the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God who goes forth to bring us life. Dear brothers and sisters, the Word of God for our consideration this evening is recorded in John chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" This is the word of our Lord. In his name. I never would have known who he was just by looking at his outward appearance. I've only been in Illinois for about a year. For 15 years before that, I served just outside of Washington, D.C., in a place called Woodbridge, Virginia. And in so doing, I ministered to many, many military families. In the Wisconsin Synod, I was a military contact pastor, as they're called. And so a few years ago, I was attending a military contact pastors conference to learn how I can better minister to the military. In a place that your pastor is very familiar with, San Antonio, Texas. We were at the church that was hosting this wonderful event, and there was a break in the conference. So as good Orthodox, confessional Lutheran pastors, we divided into two groups. Half of us went right for the restrooms. Half of us went right for the coffee and goodies. I went for the goodies. And I was waiting in line, waiting for my blueberry muffin and my coffee, and I noticed the man and his wife standing in front of me that I didn't know. I knew most of the other pastors at this conference, but I didn't recognize who this man was. I figured maybe he was a member of the congregation, maybe someone who had just come to see the conference a little bit. He got his muffin. I got mine. We said, "Hi." That was about it. Well, I was very surprised. When we resumed the conference, our host came out and introduced the next speaker, the next keynote speaker. And what do you know? It was the guy who was standing right in front of me in the line for the blueberry muffins. And what do you know? It turns out he wasn't just anybody. He had served in the Army Special Forces for most of his military career, and he was one of the people who helped plan and carry out the rescue of Jessica Lynch. Some of you might know that story. In 2003, Jessica Lynch, who served in the military, was taken hostage. And Special Forces rescued her. And in so doing, it was the first successful rescue of an American prisoner of war since World War II, and the first successful rescue of a female hostage in American history. And the guy who helped plan it and carry it out was the guy who was standing in front of me in the muffin line. I never would have known just by looking at him. I never would have known that a warrior was in my presence. A warrior whose great valor was hidden to my eyes at first. In the Lenten series this year, each Wednesday night, you're going to hear that Jesus is a warrior, so to speak, a conquering warrior who wins the most important victories for us. However, I don't know if 2,000 years ago, if we'd be walking along the road next to Jesus or standing in back of Jesus in a line, if we'd necessarily realize he was such a warrior just by his appearance. In fact, when we look in the Bible, oftentimes, well, we see Jesus described as being hungry, as getting tired, as eating, as sleeping. He didn't necessarily look like a warrior in his appearance on the outside. But at times he didn't always look like a warrior in his actions either, in what he did. And we see that in the Word of God tonight from the book of John, chapter 11. What happens? Well, Jesus apparently can't show up on time. One of his close friends, a man by the name of Lazarus, gets sick and dies, and they put him in the grave. And a few days go by before Jesus even shows up. That doesn't look like a warrior who's sent to earth to defeat death. It seems like someone who just didn't get there on time. And as people are contemplating this, they're trying to make sense of it. They know who he claims to be and even what he's done in the past, some of his miracles, and they can't figure out, why didn't he do something? Why didn't he show up earlier and stop this whole thing? Is this the warrior sent from heaven to earth? Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? He seemed hidden as the warrior who conquers death in this situation, as one of his close friends dies. Maybe you know what that's like, to have those questions too. Is Jesus really the warrior he claims to be? Especially at times when you just can't seem to figure out what he's doing, or why he's not doing something you think he should. You hear that Jesus is the warrior over all, the God come to earth and the God who listens to all of your prayers and knows every hair on your head. But then, when you're sitting in that hospital room and your loved one is in the bed next to you with tubes hooked up to them, you scream out in your mind and in your heart, if it doesn't come out of your lips perhaps, Lord, why? Why is this happening to my loved one? If you're a warrior, do something about this. You can stop it. You can make this stop. I don't know why it had to happen in the first place. But Jesus, you seem so far away. You seem so hidden. Or when you're not in that chair, but when you're in that bed. You think that the next visitor coming might be death itself. You might cry out to God and say, Jesus, where are you? You seem so hidden, so far away. Why could you not do something about this? Well, and then, in less dramatic, but sometimes just as disturbing moments in day-to-day life, do we ever ask that too? Where are you, Jesus? He's the conquering warrior, and we're more than victors through him, we hear. But then, I stumble again with that sin. That sin that I hate, but part of me loves at the same time. That sin that I've been wrestling with for years. Maybe you too. You fall into sin and guilt and temptation. Sin kicks you in the teeth. You feel that shame, that guilt hanging around your neck. And you say, really? Shouldn't I be done with this by now? Shouldn't I have conquered this or that sin? Why do I still stumble like I do? I don't feel victorious. God, where are you? In fact, when I think about my own sin at times, I want to hide from God as our first parents did in the Garden of Eden. And he seems so far away. Well, for hearts that wrestle at times wondering what God is up to. Well, friends, I wish I could come here tonight and tell you exactly
what God is up to every moment of your life.
You see, I've been looking for a ladder for some time now. A very special ladder, at least in my imagination. It's a ladder so tall that it stretches from heaven to earth. And in my imagination, I can climb this ladder anytime I want to, and I can climb up to the throne room of God in heaven, and then I can ask him my questions and say, Lord, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Lord, why did this person suffer like this? Why did this bad thing happen to them? And then God will give me the answers, and I'll report them to you. But I haven't found that ladder yet.
And there's much about God that we don't know.
That is much about his will that has not been revealed to us. We don't know why he allows this or that to happen. Why this happened to you, why this happened to me. God doesn't reveal that to us. But friends, even if I can't find that ladder, I'm so happy that God has found me and given me wonderful news to share with you tonight. News about who he is and how he feels about you that he has clearly revealed in his word. And in just a few brief verses here in John chapter 11, Jesus reveals so much to us about who he is and how he feels about us, even in those times where we wonder and worry about where he is. First of all, he comes to this scene, and it says that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The original there seems to indicate the deepest parts of him, his guts, his heart, are going out to these people who are suffering. He sees what death has done to his friend, to his loved ones, and he cares. Oh, and then the shortest verse in the Bible, two words. Jesus wept. And he knew he was going to raise Lazarus in a few minutes, but Jesus wept. Why? Because he cares. He saw what death had done. He saw suffering, and he cared. When you suffer, Jesus cares. His heart goes out to you. He wants to know what's on your heart and mind as you pray to him, but then his heart goes out to you.
In that presentation in San Antonio a few years ago, an Army Special Forces warrior began telling us one story after another of this mission and that mission that he went on. Of this house that he cleared and that helicopter that he jumped out of. And they just went on and on and on. And the way that he was telling this, it's like he was reading off his grocery list. It was amazing. And myself and those other pastors in the room, I think our jaws dropped to the floor. We said, wow. Oh, okay, that guy's a man. That guy is a warrior. He is way different than us, I will admit. But then, he got to a story about a mission where one of his brothers in arms, a man he had trained personally, did not make it home. He was killed in that mission. And when he tried to tell that story, he couldn't. Tears welled up in his eyes, and this incredible warrior just began to weep. And his wife had to come up and put her arm around him just to steady him, calm him so he could go on. That warrior loved that man. Jesus is a mighty warrior with legions of angels at his disposal, but he cares about you. He knows what it is to cry, and he shares your tears. Then how wonderful that he's able to do something about it, too. You know the rest of the story, perhaps. It's not all recorded in your bulletin. But Jesus goes and says, well, something amazing to his friend Lazarus. Lazarus, get up. And with those very words, he raises Lazarus from the dead and returns him to his family. How incredible. But that's not where it ends. Something more incredible happens. Shortly after this, Jesus walks to Jerusalem to raise you from the dead. He walks to Jerusalem to die for all of those sins that would make your head drop in shame and make you want to hide from a holy God. He bleeds for them all on the cross. He goes into death first before you, before me. And he rises again to prove that we are justified and forgiven, that he is a mighty warrior and we are his victors by grace. When I served in the Washington, D.C. area, many times I went on hospital calls to a place called Walter Reed Hospital or Bethesda Medical Complex. It's where many warriors are treated after wounds. And almost every time I went there, I saw some incredible warriors that you would not know just by looking on the outside. Many of these warriors didn't have legs, and they were no more than 20, 21 years old. They had lost those limbs in battle defending your freedom and mine, saving lives. Oh, they might not have looked like warriors on the outside. They might have looked weak, almost broken, but they were warriors indeed. When Jesus was hanging on a cross, bloodied and broken and beaten, oh, he didn't look like a warrior to the world's eyes, but what was he doing? Winning the greatest victory, crushing the head of the serpent, and taking with him into death all my sin and guilt and shame and fear. And then he rose again from the dead. And now he comes to you and to me day by day through his word and sacrament. The same word that can raise a dead man is the word that gave life to my heart and yours. And it's that word that will speak to you and speak to me day after day, saying, my son, my daughter, do not be afraid. I see you, I know you, and I will be with you forever. Until that day, when all his glory is hidden no more, until that day, not a moment too soon or a moment too late, he brings you to heaven. And there you will see him with your own eyes. And you will cry tears of joy. And he will wipe every tear from your eye. And you will see who you are, even right now. More than a conqueror through him who lived and died and rose for you. You whose life is hidden with Christ will see him clearly. Brothers and sisters, this is your Savior. See how he's revealed in his word for you. Victory is ours. Amen. May the peace and love of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen.